time? Yeah, I guess.
Okay, good morning. We are on the very bottom of Daf Lamed Gimel Mevez, picking up from the Mishnah, where it said, Ebein Malavnin Eserafim. You're not allowed to whiten, or you're not allowed to heat up these tiles so much that they get white. The purpose for you doing so would be to cook food on them. So why not? Gemara says, Mike Ovid, what's the problem? What's the malachar? What's the problem that you are encountering by heating up these tiles? Amar Rav Barachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Hacha Bara'afim Chadashim Askinan, Mipnei Shetzarech Levadkan. We're talking about new tiles that haven't been heated up before, and we're not sure if they can withstand this level of heat. It's a very high intensity heat, and we're afraid that they might break, they might crack as a result of your applying heat. And if that's the case, Rashi points out, it's a tircha shlo litzorech. You would have, the whole thing would have been for naught, and that's something that you shouldn't have done on Yantif, because it wouldn't have resulted in any ochel nefesh altogether. And so for that reason, you can't heat these tiles up. The Amriwa, did I just read that ahead? Sorry. The Amriwa Mibnei Shetzarech L'Chansman. And there are some people who hold that the reason why you're not allowed to heat up these tiles is because by doing so you are strengthening them. This is kind of the forging of the clay that is required at the end of the process for building them. So by heating them up initially, you are forging them and you are making them into a kli, and that's a problem of Masakin Mana, and that's why you're not allowed to heat them up on Yantif. Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah that says, Darsa Oshatarfa Bakosel, if you take an animal, a chicken, and this is in Eilo Trefos, this is a Brisa in Mishnah in Chulin, so it's talking about Hilchos Trefos. So if you take a chicken, I don't know why you would do this, but you bang it against the wall or you crush it, Oshritzatzta Behema, or you crush a behema and it's doing pirkus, it's doing the rattling, the death rattle. Vishasama eslace, and then you wait 24 hours before eating it. Now we're talking about on Yantif. Vishachta, or we're not talking about Yantif, we're just talking generally. And you wait 24 hours and then you shecht it, kshera, then it's kosher to be eaten. It's not a problem with treifus. Amar Rav Elazar bar Yannai, Mishum Rav Elazar bar Antigonus, Tzricha Bedika. He says, he points out, in the name of Elazar Antigonus, that you still need to do the bedika for treifas. The issue here is that, as Rashi points out, when you do that impact, you do that trauma to it by banging it against the wall or crushing it, so there might be a latent defect that you wouldn't even be able to pick up with your later bedika. Any animal, when you shecht it, you have to do a bedika, you have to check for simani treifas, once it's shechted, right? The halacha is that a treif animal is not kosher. Treif means that it's something that has some kind of defect in it. That means it'll die within a year. And so you have to check your animal after you shecht it to make sure it doesn't have one of these defects. Here, there's an additional problem that by having undergone that trauma, there might be a latent defect that you wouldn't pick up with your normal bedika. And so the halacha is you have to wait 24 hours because the latent bedika that might have resulted, which Rashi points out, has to do with risuke ivarim, has to do with a crushing of certain bones or certain internal organs, that would be apparent after 24 hours. The animal would have died. If the animal lived 24 hours, then that means that the latent defect we were worried about wasn't true, that didn't happen. And then you just have to do your standard bedika, and then you're okay. Fine.
Is this a machlokas between Rabbi Elazar bar Yannai?
I don't think so. I think he's just kind of adding. Yeah. He's explaining. That's what it seems like. Yeah. Good. Ma'amine Rav Yirmiyah Merav Yizera. So Rav Yirmiyah asked Rav Yizera, Ma'u shachta b'yom tov? Are you allowed to shech this animal yantif? Mi mechazkina reyosa b'yom tov Allah? Do we assume or do we suspect that there might be a problem with this animal yantif? Again, we had said that you're allowed to shecht it as long as you wait 24 hours during the chol, because the passage of 24 hours means that the latent defect is not there. But is there an additional chashash that you're more likely to find a simen treifus from this animal which underwent that trauma? In which case, maybe you should be prohibited from shechting it on yantif, because the shechita would have been a tircha shlo tzorech, it would have been a malacha shlo tzorech, and therefore, should we prohibit you from shechting this animal yantif? So he responded by saying, Tanina, we have a Mishnah that already teaches us this halacha, our Mishnah. In Malavnis Sarafim Witzlos Bahen. You're not allowed to heat up these tiles in order to roast on them. Vavinam ba my covenant. And the Gemara had asked, what is the reason why it's prohibited to heat up the tiles? As we had said in our Gemara, these are talking about new tiles, and the issue is that we're concerned that by applying intense heat to them, they're going to crack, and it's going to turn out that it's a moach or a tirchash lo letzorech, and therefore that can now prove the answer, that can provide the answer in our question. We are concerned about the possibility of a tirchash lo letzorech. We are concerned about the possibility of something going awry and it having turned out that the shchita that we did in this case was shlo letzorech, and so that's, we could prove the answer to that. So Amrlei, so he responded to him, anan mipnei shetzarech chasman masmina la. He said, I go with the second answer the Gemara gave. The second answer the Gemara gave was that it's prohibited to heat up the tiles, not because of a chashash that they're going to break and then it turns out that it was a malacha shlo letzorech, but rather because doing so forges them, and it's a masakin mana issue. It's making them into a kli. It's making them into a final product, and that's why it's usser. And therefore, if that's the reason why you're not allowed to heat up the tiles, there's no proof to the question of the chicken that that underwent trauma. Okay, Tanya. Now we have a brisa from Shabbos, an Ilchos Shabbos. Echad meviasa or, if one person brings the fire, echad meviasa eitzim. One person brings the wood. And one person puts the, as Rashi points out, puts the empty pot on top of the pile. Another guy brings the water. Another guy pours the water into the pot. I'm sorry. Another guy puts in spices. And one person mixes the whole thing up. All of them are chayav, because of the various mulachos entailed. The Gemara immediately says, "Vatanya achron chayav." We have a famous brisa that says that the last person in a whole chain of people who are doing things to prepare something for a mulacha, only the last person who actually does the final act that creates the whole mulacha, only he is chayav. V'kulam paturin, and all the other abettors, they're all putter. Gemara answers, "Lo kasha hayda icy or meikara hada icy or lebasof." One case, our case, where we said in our Brisa or Dar Tosefta that each individual person is chayav, that's where the fire was introduced to the mixture at the very beginning. And so therefore, every step along the way involves a malacha in its own right, because the first guy got the fire, so that's a malacha of Havar, right? And then the next guy brought Eitzim, another malacha of Havar, he put the wood on the fire. The next guy put the pan on the fire, etc. Each one is a malacha in its own right. So the Gemara then asks, Bishlama, right, as opposed to the other brisa, which said that the only achron chayav, that's where the last guy brought the fire. So then only then is there a moral malacha. Everything else is just preparation. So Gemara then says, Bishlama kukuka avdi maisa. We understand why each one of them has performed a malacha that should make him chayav. Ela sofes es hakeder maika avid. But the guy who just put the empty pot on it, what terrible thing did he do? It's an empty pot. It didn't have any water in it. So there was no bishl. So what was the terrible thing it did? Rabbi Shimon, Bar Lakish Hacha Bekadera Chadasha. We're talking about a new pot. And the same problem that was attendant to the issue of Libun Ra'afim in our Mishnah, namely, at least according to the second opinion, that Sarach Chasman was that by adding heat to a new tile, you are forging it and you are creating a thing. You're being misakin money. You're finishing up creating a utensil. So the same thing is true here. This is a new pot, and by putting the new pot on the fire, you're forging the metal and you're creating a pot. And that's the malacha you've performed.
That's all for Shabbos.
That was all Shabbos. Right. Yontif is going to have other considerations because of Ochel Nefesh. We're going to need more Mako in at least some of these malachos. Tanur Rabbanan, the Mishnah, again, another Tosefta. Tanur v'kirayim chadashim, harehin k'ko ha-kelim hanitoim b'chatzer. So a new stove or oven, Rashi says a new stove or oven, and kol shekein, an old stove and oven, they are just like any other kli, and you can move it around the chatzer. Meaning, you can use it, you can move it around if there's a purpose to doing so. Like Rashi points out, the chazul mesa v'gavayamidi. You could put something on it. It's used as a bench or you know as some kind of holder of something. So there's no problem. You can move these things around. Aval, however, in sachino son shemen, you can't put oil on them. Vein tashino son b'matlis, and you can't smear them. Or I'm sorry, you can't smear them with the rag, I guess. Vein mafigino son bitsonin, and you can't put cold water on them in order to cool them down. Kedeo chasman, in order to forge the metal. So these are all things. The putting the oil on it, or the rag, or smearing it with a rag, or cooling it down with cold water. These are all things that constitute a gemar moacha. They all constitute some kind of mesakein mana for this new tanor or kirayim. Dimbish vilafos hareza mutter. However, if you're putting water to cool it down in order to regulate the temperature because you're cooking in it, you're baking in it, that's mutter. That's not a problem because that's not a problem with misakin mana. That's just the problem. That's the issue. That the issue. There is a fear, a bishul. We're talking about a yontif here, and so that's okay.
Yeah, because before we were talking about Shabbos.
Yeah, it's confusing. Before we were talking about Shabbos, and then we switched to yontif. Okay, good.
Show us the difference.
Yeah, Tana Rabbanan. Now we have another Tosefta. Molgin es harosh. Okay, so here we're talking about where you shechted an animal. And typically, after you shech the animal, before you eat it, you would cut off the hair or the feathers of the animal, because that doesn't taste good. If you cook it with the fur, it's going to singe the fur. It's no good. So you're allowed to, molgin is singe, right? You're allowed to like kind of pour hot water on it in order to get rid of the feathers, or the hair, I guess. Vesar regalim, or the hair on the legs. Umahavavin osan ba'or, and you can... Again, burn them in the fire. Aval ein toflin osam b'charsis. But you can't do this more involved process of smearing clay on it, v'lo ba'adama, or earthen clay, v'lo b'sid, or plaster. You can't do that in order to remove the hair. Ve'en gozdon osam b'misparayim, and you can't cut them with scissors. And then similarly, not talking about animals, but now talking about vegetables, ve'en gozdon esayarek b'tisporet shelo, you can't cut down the excess foliage on a yarek, on some kind of vegetable with scissors.
Dead leaves here.
What are they called?
Dead leaves.
Dead leaves. Okay, you can't cut off the dead leaves from the vegetable. So these are all things that, we kind of don't want to do a tircha, or we don't want to do something that looks very industrial looking, as if you're doing it on a large scale, but you could do it on a smaller scale. So you can't do it for this vegetable. Aval metaknes hakundus v'sa'ikvios, you can prepare these, Rashi says these are kind of vegetation, kind of vegetables, and even though it involves a lot of work to prepare them, you could do it on yontif because, again, it's ro'ochal nevesh for eating it. Umasikin v'ofin b'purni, and you can, what is it? Masikin v'ofin b'purni. You can put firewood in, and you can cook with, or you can bake with a purni. Purni says it's a very large type of
furnace.
Umechamin chamin b'antichi, and you can heat up water in this kind of large urn. Vein ofin b'purni chadasha shema tifchas, but you're not allowed to bake in a new purni because there's a concern that it might break. And again, that's similar, that's reminiscent of the problem with the ra'afim, where, at least according to one opinion, the concern was what that application of heat to them would break them, and it would be a tircha shelo tzorech. And to that you're not allowed to do. And then finally, in the Sugya Tana Rabbanan, Enofchin b'mapuach, if you want to make your fire bigger, you want to kind of fuel your fire, so one of the ways to do that is to add oxygen to the fire. Right? We do this with fireplaces or in campfires. So you're not allowed to use this, I looked it up, it's called the bellows. It's kind of...
Yeah.
We've seen them, right?
It's like kind of accordion,
an accordion, right? It looks like an accordion, and it blows air in it. Right. So that's too much of a maisa chol. We don't allow you to do it with a mapuach. Aval novchim bishpoferes, but you could take a tube and kind of just blow through the tube. That's a little less intense work. Ve'metaken asashipud, you're not allowed to fix the spit that you're going to be using for putting food on the fire. Ve'mechadnin, so you can't sharpen it. Tana Rabbanan ein mef, because again, these are all problems of Misakin Mana. Tana Rabbanan ein mefatzin es hakana utzlos b'moliach. You can't break a reed of a stick in order to use it to roast fish. Ava mefatzin es ha'egos b'matlis. But you are allowed to, there was some kind of other thing they used in order to prepare food where they would take a nut and they would wrap it in a wet rag or something like that. So you're allowed to do that. In choshim shematikra, and we're not concerned that that rag is going to break. I guess it would only rip sometime. I guess preparing it by wrapping it in the rag, there were some times where it would be delicate and it would break, it would rip. So we don't worry about that. Interestingly, Rashi says, Vein choshin shematikra, Rashi says, v'afu nikreis l'lich batzlan, dein zakorei almanas litfor. Because even if it were to rip, it wouldn't be a problem because minat Torah, the only iser malacha of kriya, of ripping, is when you do kriya almanas litfor, where you're doing ripping in order to create something new. If your ripping is just a kilkel, if it's just destructive, then there's no iser doraisa. And that's why Rashi says there's no problem. And if you look out, there's an interesting Rabbi Akiva Eger on the right, the Gilyon HaShas. So he puts out, let's just do it inside, because it's a great Rabbi Akiva Eger. So he says, Kashali, he said, I don't understand. Ha mikoma kom aser midrabanan. Rashi is getting all excited about the fact that if you rip this purely destructively, without any intent to build something out of it, it's not a tefir almanas litfor, not kri almanas litfor, so then it's not an iser doraisa. But Rabbi Akiva Eger says it's still an iser drabanan.
But it was animus kaven.
So that's what he's going to keep on reading. V'amayel kus of Rashi kipshuta. Why didn't Rashi just give the very simple answer that Miel just gave? Do kaimon kribshim, we older kribshim, davar shenim miskavin mutter. That if it's davar shenim miskavin, this wasn't something that you intended to do, it's mutter. Upsik resha lohavi, and it's not a psik resha, it's not something that's definitely going to happen. Dohavi rak chashash temet shematikra. It doesn't always rip, it's just sometimes it rips. So it's not a psik resha, davar shenim miskavin, and that's why it's mutter. Not because it's only an iser drabanan that doesn't kind of decide the point. Okay. Now we're going to do a mishnah. This next sugi is a little bit complicated, so we have to pay attention. Okay, mishnah says.
Until now, right?
Okay, so the mishnah says v'od amar of Eliezer. So the first thing Rashi points out on this v'od amar of Eliezer, he says v'od amar of Eliezer. It seems to harken back to the previous mishnah where it quoted Ravan Gidlo Manav. It quoted a kula of Rabbi Eliezer, right? Or two kulas of Rabbi Eliezer, I think. Then you had a machoga, then the Chachamim disputed that. And then it said, there's two halachos that interceded. And then the Mishnah picks up and says, vote on Rabbi Eliezer. So Rashi's bothered by just the style of the Mishnah, generally speaking, is when it says va'od, it's supposed to be picking up on something immediately precedent. And here we have two halachos that that interrupted. So Rashi says he has a problem with his girsa, and he thinks the Mishnah's girsa should be kind of moved around so that Rabbi Eliezer's previous statement immediately precedes this va'od amar Rabbi Eliezer. But that's just a side point. That's what Rashi says. The Mishnah says va'od amar Rabbi Eliezer. Omed adam al ha-mukta erev Shabbos b'shvias. The Omer Mikanani Ochel Macher. So, we're talking about, as we've seen throughout the Masechta, there are situations where there's an item that may or may not be muktzah. Some items are clearly muktzah, they have absolutely no utility, a rock or a stick, right? And some items are clearly not muktzah, like a kli. But there are some items where it's kind of in the middle. It might be something that you would never, ever use on Yantif or on Shabbos. But it might be something that you would, right? And so, let's say, for example, raisins that are almost ripe. So we're not quite sure whether or not you're they're still kind of out of your mind because they're still in the process of ripening, of drying out fully, or whether or not they're ready to be eaten already. And so for some things that are kind of on the border, your das will be koveh, whether this not this item is muktzah. And your declaration before Shabbos that the item is not muktzah will help. The truth is, this also helps for things like rocks even, right? If you say you're going to use this rock as a paperweight on Shabbos, so your declaration that you're going to do so takes it out of the category of muktzah. So that might apply in that case also. But Rashi always points out, we're talking about something that's kind of may be useful or may not be useful. So if you declare that you're going to use it before Shabbos, before Yontif, so that declaration takes it out of the category of Muktzah, and it's now not Muktzah. And so where Rabbi Eliezer says is, Omer Adam al Muktzah, Erev Shabbos, B'Shvias. You can stand over these grogros smukim, let's say, these raisins that are in the sun. And you could declare whether or not you are going to use them. Ve'omer mikanani ochel machar. And you could say, I'm going to eat from these raisins tomorrow. And by doing so, you take them out of the category of muktzah. Now the Mishnah says specifically, or Rabbi Eliezer specifically says, that we're talking about during Shvias, in the seventh year, during Shemitah. And the reason is because if not for the fact that this was the seventh year, you'd have a separate problem that would preclude you from eating these raisins, and that is the fact that you haven't taken Meiser yet from them. Typically, you're only going to take Meiser once the raisins are completed. So if you stand an hour before Shabbos on Friday afternoon and say, I'm going to eat from these raisins tomorrow, you haven't yet taken care of the Meiser problem. So if it wasn't a Shvias year, if it wasn't a Shemitah year, that would be a separate reason why you couldn't use them on Shabbos. But we're talking about a Shvias year, so the problem of Meiser goes away. The only problem is the potential problem of Muktzah, and you are standing there and declaring that you're going to eat these raisins tomorrow, takes away the Hachana problem, it makes them Mukhan, takes away the Muktzah problem, and then you could eat them.
Why would Meiser go away? Because Shemitah.
There's no Chi of Meiser during the Shemitah year. There's no Chi of Meiser during the Shemitah year, they weren't from the Pasuk.
I trust you.
We'll yeah. if you look in the middle line, Rashi Dibur Nasul Shvias, he quotes the Pasuk, whatever. Okay, so there's no Chi of Meiser on Shvias. The Chachamim, so that's the Tanakhama, that's the Arvei Eliezer. The Chachamim Omrim Ad Shiyirshim, the Yomer Mikan V'Adkan. Chachamim say it's not good enough to declare it verbally that you're going to eat these raisins. You actually have to. And because the assumption is you're not eating all the raisins, there's a huge, huge pile of raisins. So to say mikan and yoto machar, and then tomorrow you take specific raisins, there's a problem with breira. So we don't want you to get into a problem with breira. So the chachamim say you actually have to mark off the specific raisins that you're going to eat. We can't rely on breira to decide tomorrow which of the raisins you had in mind to designate. So the chachamim at yirshon v'yomer mikan v'adkan. Fine. Tosfos points out interestingly that the last time we encountered this, a very similar machokas, was the machokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about gozlos, about birds. And we said there that according to Beis Hillel, you don't need, we can rely on Breyer, you don't need to designate specific ones. Remember with Beis Shammai, you actually have to pick them up and shake them. Right. And Beis Hillel was the makil there, and he said you don't need to do anything very specific or very intimate. You can rely on Breyer there. So Tosos is bothered by the fact that here, the Chachamim presumably line up with Shitas Rav Beis Hillel, because Beis Hillel is the Chacham, that's the mainstream opinion. Rabbi Eliezer was a Shamuti. He was one of Beis Shammai. He was the Talmud of Beis Shammai. So he would presumably be articulating Beis Shammai's position. Here it seems to be reversed. So the Tosus explains at the very end of the top Tosus here, V'yishlomer d'shani hacha d'akhtzia b'yadayim. It's a more machmir situation here, according to Beis Hillel, because these things are not just things that are naturally muktzah, like the birds, where you didn't do anything actively to kind of push them out of your intended use. But birds are just naturally muktzah, and so therefore it's enough to just designate and we'll rely on breira. Whereas here you were akhtzi v'yadayim. You took these good grapes, you pushed them aside and said, I'm not using them for a while because they're going to dry out. And by that active designation, you've made them super muktzah, and that's why here they're going to require Yershom, you're going to require them to designate. And then he explains Beis Shammai, the reason why Beis Shammai is different also. Because Bali Chaim or Morcham or whatever. Okay, so that's the Mishnah. So the Mishnah said, that's what the Mishnah said. So the Gemara now says, Tanan Hasam, we have a Mishnah in Maestros that says, Tinokos, okay, just one second. As an introduction, let's just keep in mind for a moment that the Chi of Meiser generally sets in at Ri'as Penei Habayis, right? When you're out in the field and you're picking produce you can pop one in your mouth without a problem, say a bracha, and you pop it in your mouth, and you don't have a problem of tevel. You don't have a problem with the fact that this is not Meuser, that Meiser wasn't taken from this produce, because the Chi of Meiser only really sets in once everything has been gathered fully, and we typically set that point at Rias Pnei Bais, once you've taken it into your chatzer, or once you've taken it into your storehouse. But while you're still out on the field, we don't have a problem with you popping it into your mouth, because the Chiyuv Maaser hasn't really set in any real way. Practically, that works well, because the field workers are going to want to eat some. They're not going to want to be, you know, mafresh maaser right in the field. It gets complicated. And so that works well. Good. So that's typically how it happens. Now the Gemara says, Tanan Hasan, we have a Mishnah in Maaseros that says the following. Tinokos shetimnu te'enim me'erev Shabbos. Let's say you have a bunch of kids that took some te'enim. They took some dates on Friday afternoon, and they put it away. They kind of hid it in their in a corner in the house for snacking on Shabbos. V'shachlu, and they forgot. V'lo isru, and they didn't take meiser. V'motzai Shabbos lo yochlu. You're not allowed to eat it on Motzai Shabbos once you find it. Elohim kein isru, unless you take meiser. So that's the story. If you take te'enim, right, and you put them aside, and they haven't had meiser taken from them yet, then you can't eat them on Motzai Shabbos. Fine. The point here is, as Rashi points out, right, we're not talking about a Shemitah year, correct. We're talking about where there is a Chiyuv Maaser, that's right. Okay, now, as Rashi points out, what we're saying here is that there hasn't been a Rias Pnei Abayis. These kids were just taking them from the fields. There hasn't been the formal ingathering of all of the produce and putting it in the storehouse or putting it in the chatzer. And yet, there's a Chiyuv Maaser already. And the reason for that is because Shabbos was Koveya. If you intend to eat something on Shabbos, that has a strong impact. And that is the equivalent of Rias Pnei Abayis. That's the equivalent of bringing it into your chatzer. And the Chiyuv Maaser sets in by your intention to eat it on Shabbos. We'll see the pasuk for that in a second. That's the thing. Now, keep in mind, this was a Davar Shenigmar Moachto. These Te'enim don't require any further work, right? They're Te'enim or Te'enim. Dates are eaten raw. And so it's Nigmar Moachto. And the onset of Shabbos and your intent to eat them on Shabbos constitutes a Gemara Malacha, that constitutes something that creates the Chiyuv Maaser. You can't eat them now until they've been until you take Maaser. That's one point of information. V'tananami, and we have another Mishnah in Maaseros as well. Hamavir te'enim b'chatzero liktzos. If you take te'enim into your chatzer, right? Banuv ubnei veso ochlin mehen arai. So then the people in your house can eat from these te'enim, from these dates, on an off basis, kind of on a temporary basis, upeturin, and they are pater. So here the point is that these things, these te'enim, have not undergone gemar malacha. Right? It's different than the te'enim in the previous mission we just quoted. These te'enim are still in the process of getting dried out. As Rashi points out, you're laying them out in your chatzer in order to dry them out so you can then press them into fig cakes. This is not on Shabbos. So these te'enim now have not undergone gemar malacha, and bringing them into the chatzer, right, doesn't create, which normally would fix it for the Chiyuv Maaser, which would create a Chiyuv Maaser on them
if they were already ripe,
if they were already ready to be eaten. Since you're not intending to eat them yet, you wanted to dry them out. There's no Gemara Malacha yet, so then, therefore, there's no Chiyuv Maaser yet on that. So we have two points of information. One is that Shabbos is Koveya for something that Nigmar Moachto, Shabbos is Koveya for Maaser, even without Rias Pnei Abayis. That's point one. And point two from the second Mishnah is that without Nigmar Moachto, even Rias Pnei Abayis, even entering into your Chatzar, would not be Koveya for Maaser. Now comes along Rav and asks the following question. Bamine Rav Amir of Nachman. Shabbos, Mahu Shatikava Muktzo Maaser, Bedavar Shlo Nigmar Moachto. Will Shabbos create a Chiyuv Maaser for something that has not yet Nigmar Malachta, that has not yet finished its work? If you have something that you're still working on, right? Will Shabbos be Koveyat for Maaser? Mi Amrinon, do we say, Kevan Dechsiv, Since the pasuk says v'karasa l'shabbos oneg, that the pasuk says that v'karasa l'shabbos oneg, which is the source for this notion that Shabbos, your intention to eat it on Shabbos, is koveyat for ma'aser kava v'afil b'davar shalom nigram l'achdo, that Shabbos is so strong is it that it's koveya for ma'aser, that it creates a chi of ma'aser even if it's lo nigram l'achdo. Oh, Dilma, or maybe, no, but Davrish Nigra Malachto Kava, that Shabbos only works to be Kaveyad for Achiv Meiser on Davrish Nigra Malachto if its work has already been finished. But Davrish Lo Nigra Malachto Lo Kava, right? But for something whose work has not yet been finished, perhaps even the onset of Shabbos and your intent to eat it on Shabbos does not Kaveyad it for the Achiv Meiser. So he answers him, here's the answer. Shabbos Kovas, Shabbos is so strong that it is koveyad for a chiyuv ma'aser, bein b'davar shenigra malachto, bein b'davar shelo nigra malachto. Whether or not you finished its work, whether or not this thing is done, Shabbos is koveya it for a chiyuv ma'aser, regardless, your intention to eat it on Shabbos. So even if you have these raisins that are just sitting there, and it's not fully ripened, it's not clear yet whether it's all done, still, or dates, still, the fact that you intend to eat it on Shabbos will be koveya it for the chiyuv ma'aser. So then he challenges it and he says, "Ve'ema Shabbos dumya the chatzer." He says, "Maybe Shabbos should only be as strong as chatzer. Shabbos should only the Shabbos, which is koveya it for a chiyuv ma'aser in its own right, should be parallel or should be comparable to brias pnei abayis or bringing it into your chatzer." Ma chatzer, you know, kavasa udavar shenigra malachto. Just like chatzer is limited in the sense that it's only kaveya for ma'aser, something that has finished, completed its work. Av Shabbos lo tikva el udavar shenigra malachto. Maybe Shabbos should also be limited in that way. And he says, no. Amrlei limud aruchu biyadenu. We have a strong tradition, a strong limud. Sha Shabbos kavas beim udavar shenigra malachto, beim udavar shelo nigra malachto. Shabbos sets in the chi of Meiser regardless of whether or not its malacha has been finished. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. Amar Mar Zutra, Breder of Nachman. So comes along Mar Zutra, the son of Rav Nachman, and says, Afa nam nami tanina. I have a proof to this notion that Shabbos is koveya it for a chi of Meiser regardless of whether or not there's been a gemar malachta. What is his proof? His proof is lucky for us, our Mishnah, yeah. Right? Tanina, afananami tanina. So here's our Mishnah. Ve'od Amar Rabbi Eliezer, as our Mishnah said, Rabbi Eliezer added and said, Omed adam al hamukta erev Shabbos b'shvias. A person can stand on the mukta. Again, these raisins are working their way through, drying out, and you can stand nearby and say, as we said in our Mishnah, Mikana niocha omachar. Say that I'm going to eat these raisins tomorrow. So the Gemara says, Taima deshvias delav barasurehu. Our Mishnah seems to only allow you to eat these on Shabbos now because it's a Shemitah year, so there's no chiyuv of Meiser. Ha, bishar shnei shavua, if it were any one of the other years of the seven-year cycle where there is a chiyuv of Meiser, hachanami da'asar. They would be usher. You would not be able to eat it. That's clear from our Mishnah. My taima. Why would that be? Lav mishum deShabbos kava. Lav mishum deShabbos kava. It must be because Shabbos was kaveya. Again, this is something that's no longer malachta. It's not in your chatzer. You haven't seen brias pnei abayis. You haven't brought it into your chatzer. The only reason why. The Mishnah is concerned and identifies this as a shvias year. Is thus implying that if it were not a Shvias year, there would be a Chi of Meiser that would preclude you from eating these things. It must be because Shabbos was Koveya. Your declaration that you're going to eat these things on Shabbos is what would, in a non-Shemitah year, be Koveya it for Meiser. So he says, our Mishnah, you wouldn't have thought it when you read it at first, but our Mishnah comes as a proof text for this notion that Shabbos is Koveya something for a Chi of Meiser, even if it's lo nigra malachto, right? Does that make sense? Okay. So he answers. So that's what he wants to bring as a proof. Okay. So he says lo. So he answers no. Shiny. It's not a proof for this notion. Shiny asam kevan da'amar mikanani ochal amachar kavalei iluye. He says, no, no, it's not Shabbos that is doing the trick, but now we're introducing a third way in which you can be koveya something for Meiser, in addition to Rias Pnei Abayis / Chatzer, and in addition to your declaration that you intend to use it on Shabbos, is the third thing, which is that your mere declaration that you intend to use this item, and that you that it's finished, and right, you, by your saying these raisins are now finished, they've baked in the sun enough, and I am going to eat them, that in and of itself is koveyed for Meiser. That's what he says.
It didn't have to be Shabbos, it could have been Tuesday.
It could have been Tuesday, exactly. Exactly, it could have been Tuesday. Which leads the Gemara to immediately ask the next question. Ihachi, my area Shabbos, afilu b'chol nami. Right? Why did this Mishnah have to be talking about Shabbos? It could have been talking about chol. Now this line requires a little bit of thought, because the immediate answer that I would have answered to that question is, well, it has to be talking about Shabbos because we're in Maseches Beitzah, and the purpose of this Mishnah was to teach us a halacha about mukta, not a halacha about what's koveya produce for a chi of Meiser. But Rashi addresses that, if you look in the very first wide line of Rashi, where he says, Ma'iria Shabbos, he says, Ma'iria da'ashminun hach b'Shabbos. Why, he says, the Gemara is really asking, the question is, why is it teaching you this halacha here in the context of Shabbos, v'shaminam b'chol b'seder zroim? It should have made this a Mishnah in Seder zroim.
But the machlok is about whether you have to be rosh, like the mark or not mark.
Yeah.
That's the point.
And so Rashi continues and he says, v'hacha, and here in Beitzah, v'flugu b'hachana d'gozlus k'da'afliga b'sham v'sil b'breira. It should have come up with a much simpler case, such as just chickens on a Friday afternoon, yeah, rather than talking about a complicated case of Meiser, where you're led to believe that it's teaching you something about the onset of the Chi of Meiser. Now, of course, the problem with that is that we said the issue with Gozlos comes out differently anyway, based on the top Gozlos, remember, Beis Shammai Beis Hill. But whatever, they'll work that out. Maybe Gozlos is not the best example. They could have come up with something else that's not Bali Chaim, and that's more like Akhtia B'Yadayim, so it's more similar to the outcome that would have resulted, you know, the results here in this Mishnah. But the point is the Gemara is suggesting here, why did it have to teach us this halacha by Shabbos, afil b'chol nami? Good? So the Gemara answers, ha-kamash malan, by teaching us this halacha, specifically in this context, and using Shabbos, Hakamashwan de Tevel Muchan Hu Eitzel Shabbos, Shim Avar Vitiknan Matukan. So it's teaching you an additional halacha that you might not have known. There's kind of halachos piled upon halachos here that it's teaching you, which is the following halacha. I'll tell you the halacha, and then I'll tell you how it's mashma in this Mishnah, which requires a long Rashi at the end to kind of work through this whole thing. So the halacha is trying to teach you is that if you have something that, like in our Mishnah with these raisins, they are not yet mesukan. You have not yet taken away its tevel status. You haven't been maser. You haven't tithed from these things. And you get rid of the muktza problem in the way you get rid of it, because you say mikana anilto machar. So there's no problem with muktza. And now you go into Shabbos. So let's say it wasn't a Shvius year and there was a Chi of Meiser, right? So again, you're going into Shabbos. You've gotten rid of the Muktza problem because you say Mikana Niolcho Machar, but there's still Tevel because Meiser hasn't been taken. Now, are you allowed to take Meiser on Shabbos? The answer is you're not allowed to take Meiser on Shabbos. It's a Isser Drabanan of Mesakein Mana. These items entered Shabbos not being able to be eaten. And if you now tithe it and take the Meiser away on Shabbos, you are changing its status from something that can't be eaten to something that can be eaten, and that's an Isser Drabanan, you're not allowed to do it. But what would happen if someone, your neighbor, came over and did the Meiser for you? He took the Meiser off. So now you don't have a problem with Meiser. It's not Tevel anymore. Can you now eat these figs or these raisins on Shabbos? Or does the fact that it went into Shabbos usser because of a tevel status taint it for all of Shabbos and make it muktzah in that respect? And
did you ask
the answer them? Is the answer is we learn from our Mishnah that it's not a problem, that this is not a problem of mukta. So how do you learn that from this Mishnah? And again, the Gemara is answering now that this that halacha, the fact that the that its tevel status was removed on Shabbos doesn't create a mukta problem. That's the additional halacha that we get from including this halacha specifically here in the context of Shabbos, rather than just talking about a chol case that would have been a much more straightforward way of teaching the halacha of Meiser.
Okay, so the neighbor did something wrong.
Right? The neighbor did something wrong. Right? He should not have been Meiser, but it's only a rabbanon. You're not going to get a knas for it. The mafarshim talk about that it's specifically the neighbor that did it. If you did it, there might be a knas against you. You can't eat it.
The neighbor did it on his own.
But the neighbor did it on its own. And so the question is, can you now eat this produce that now has had its tevel status removed on Shabbos? So the Gemara says that we learn from this Mishnah that that is not a problem. That tevel, that change from tevel to chulin on Shabbos doesn't taint it as a hilchos mukta issue. And you learn it from the following. Because the Mishnah could have said, here, look at the very, very last line and a half of Rashi, where it says inami, right? Middle of the second to last line of Rashi here. The Mishnah could have said, omed adam ala mukta erev Shabbos v'shvias, that a person can stand over the mukta on erev Shabbos in shvias, again, in a year where meiser doesn't apply, v'omer mikananin ochel amachar, and say, I am designating this, and I'm going to eat from this tomorrow. And then it's going to add the next four words. Varezem min amuchan. And by doing so, it makes it muchan. Right? That's what the Mishnah could have said. But it didn't say harezem min amuchan. But had it said harezem min amuchan, vidaikina mina, we would have made a diuk from there. We would have made an inference from there that ha bishar shnei shavua, that in the other years of Shvias, when the chi of meiser would have applied, eno muchan, that it's not muchan, because you have this additional problem of muktza that results from the fact that it went into Shabbos as tevel and had its tevel status removed on Shabbos itself. Aval hashta, but the fact now that in our Mishnah it doesn't add those words, vareza min amuchan, lo shamina midyuka dinetzer mishum muktza el mishum meiser. That demonstrates that the only problem that would have existed was a problem of Meiser. That's solved by the fact that it's a Shvias year, that it's a Shemitah year, so Meiser doesn't apply. And in a non-Shvias year, that would have been the problem, to the exclusion of the problem of Mukta that we've just been talking about. Meaning to say that from a diuk in our Mishnah, and it's a very fine diuk, you have to kind of be very sensitive to what the Mishnah could have said, but from that diuk, we conclude that in a non-Shvias year, where Meiser would have been a problem, had you entered into Shabbos with the item as Tevel, and then on Shabbos your neighbor removed the Tevel status by being Mafrish Meiser, right? That would have solved the problem. The only problem attendant to this produce was a Meiser problem and not a Mukta problem, right? And therefore, that would have solved the problem, and you would have been able to eat it. There wouldn't be an additional Meiser problem. All of this is a long way of saying that there was a specific reason why it included it in this way, in this Masechta, even though, really, this is how we're kind of closing that last gap. All right, it required, if you really want to get the sugya, you got to read that Rashi again. It's a complicated thing, but it all works out. It's a good... Good little sugya. It continues. I feel a little bad for the person who's doing this next week, because the sugya kind of you have to really start at the Mishnah. It kind of runs through. You can't just pick up.
So you didn't know.
Am I on deck next week? All right. If that's true, well, we're going to start at the last Mishnah again and run through it. Just go ahead.